The following presentation is from Friday, April 15th, 2016.
Dear friends, last month, 40 members of Temple Emmanuel traveled to Cuba for 5 memorable days. As you can imagine, it was a thrill to be there, but even more exciting because as we were there, the city of Havana was preparing for President Obama's visit. While in America, reactions to reopening ties with the island nation may be mixed, in Cuba itself, the air was filled with anticipation for what might come of renewed political and economic relations with the United States. Why was it so important for Temple Emmanuel to visit? First, it was important to bear witness to Havana as it is today. A study in contrasts with beautiful architecture inspired by rich culture, often standing idly amidst desperate poverty. As Americans, we should know the struggles of a people only 110 miles from our border. How powerful it was to hear the younger generation speak about the limits of life under Castro, either Castro. But it was also important for us to visit Cuba as a demonstration of our commitment to Klal Yisrael, the wider Jewish world. The story of Jewish life in Cuba is a fascinating one, reaching back to 1492, when conversos were among the island's first European settlers. Luis de Torres sailed and scouted for Columbus. Hernando Alonso, a colonial governor, was burned at the stake by the Inquisition for baptizing one of his children while singing of Israel in Egypt, a theme we'll take up 1 week from tonight, but in his day, a too thinly veiled reference to the Jewishness he was forced to repudiate. Cuban Jewry survived the next 3 centuries, despite persecution by the Inquisition. And then it began its marked growth in the late 19th century after the War of Independence of 1868 and the Spanish-American War of 1898, when American Jews began to settle there, some businessmen and others veteran soldiers. In 1904, they established a Reformed temple, the Union Hebrew Congregation. The 1920s witnessed Jewish immigration from Eastern Europe. From 1933 to 1944, the denial of the St. Louis notwithstanding, 10 to 12,000 more Jews arrived, fleeing primarily Germany and Austria, though many did not stay. Prior to the Cuban Revolution in 1959, the Jewish population numbered 15,000. But shortly thereafter, it dropped to the 1,500 it remains today. 3 synagogues serve the population. Beth Shalom, which we visited, stands proudly in one of Havana's upscale neighborhoods, side by side with El Patronato, a Jewish community center boasting 80 children in its religious school, a women's auxiliary, a seniors group, and a youth group, which sends teens and young adults on birthright trips to Israel. The intermarriage rate is 99%. Not surprising, given the size of the Jewish population overall and the decades of suppression of religious expression that only ended with the collapse of the Soviet Union. But what we witnessed was inspiring. In the same synagogue where one of our own members found pictures of his family from generations ago, now the Shabbat evening service is led by a group of teenagers who represent the community's future. So we departed with a sense of hopefulness felt within the Cuban Jewish community, but also within the city as a whole. In just a moment, I will invite Carol Greenberg to share with you her reflections on the trip. It was, as Rabbi Ehrlich said, Carol's initiative that we go, and I am deeply grateful to her and to Dr. Gadi Levy, our extraordinary Skirball Center Executive Director, who has discovered yet another talent as tour operator. The two of them were a magnificent team. I think you'll hear in Carol's words a sentiment I certainly share, how meaningful it was to travel as a congregational group. There are many ways to visit points of Jewish interest around the world. To experience them with your synagogue, though, is a special one, because it allows you to bring the experience home and to continue to share it, and because it draws you closer to others in the community you might not have known. I surely felt that way and appreciate so much the friendships I made with our fellow travelers, many of whom are here tonight. With that, let me invite up Carol.
Hola, and Shabbat Shalom. Tonight, as we gather together to welcome Shabbat in our gorgeous space, I feel blessed, surrounded by my family and my friends. Emmanuel has been good for me. I joined when I was 24, single, looking to be part of a Jewish community. I soon met my husband, Frank, and we are blessed with two beautiful daughters, Alex and Danielle, and my mom, Sylvia. Being part of the community has made our happy times in life more joyful and our sad times more bearable. For here we celebrate together and we mourn together. In my time at Emmanuel, I have volunteered in nearly every aspect of temple life. I've worked alongside staff and lay leaders of exceptional talent. It remains a lot of fun. But the fun quotient was about to ratchet up as we prepared for our next Emmanuel adventure, Cuba. The Emmanuel Cuba trip was Dr. Gadi Levy's idea. For those who don't know, he is the executive director of Skirball. He is also charming, persuasive, and as I learned, tenacious. Every tour operator told Gadi he'd have to wait a year as interest in Cuba had skyrocketed and rooms were scarce and flights were full and so on. Tell Gadi no, and he'll see it as a challenge. He put his amazing creativity and networking skills to work to make the Cuba trip happen, and that is how we came together. I'd been to Cuba years ago with a savvy tour operator who really made things happen, and I brought her and Gadi together. 1 week later, we had flights, 22 rooms in Cuba's finest hotel, and a full itinerary. Gadi's usual creative promotional style reached incredible new heights for Cuba with an absolute genius tagline from promoting the trip. Havana Nagila, Temple Emmanuel goes to Cuba. We were sold out almost immediately. The final count for the trip was 42 temple members, ranging in age from 19 to 92. With varying connections to the temple and varying backgrounds and interests, our senior rabbi was also coming along, and I knew this trip was going to be something special. We began to get to know each other over mojitos and chicken and rice in Miami at the famous Versailles restaurant. Gadi and I assured everyone it would be an incredible trip, but we would need to be flexible. It was clear to us that there was great excitement amongst the group. Given the challenges of airport check-in and security, we left our Miami hotel at 5:15 the next morning for an 8 a.m. departure. We made our way through, boarded the plane, and touched down in Cuba little after 9 a.m. We then loaded on the bus, and we were off. Our schedule for the next 4 days was full. On and off the bus, from early in the morning to late at night, we didn't miss a beat. We ate at Cuba's finest paladars, learned about the revolution and the struggles and the challenges of the people. We toured the cigar factory and met with Cuban artists. We learned about the architecture and Hemingway, Castro, and Meyer Lansky. We experienced the glitz and the vibe of the famous Tropicana and the beauty of the National Ballet and much more. but it was our interaction with the Jewish community that had the greatest impact. On our first night, Batya, a tour provider, arranged for 6 young people from the Jewish community to dine with us. They told us what life was really like in Cuba, what their hopes and dreams were, how much being a part of the Jewish community meant for them and their families. 2 spoke of their upcoming journey to Israel. Others spoke of their non-Jewish friends who envied the support of the Jewish community. It was eye-opening, especially for the younger members of our group. 2 days later, we met Adela Dworkin from Beth Shalom, a leader of the Jewish community, approximately 1,500 in size. She shared with us the history of the Jews in Cuba, how Castro made exceptions for the Jews who stayed behind following the revolution by permitting the kosher butcher to continue to exist, and how there was no anti-Semitism in the country. She told us how the synagogue supports their community, in part by operating a pseudo-pharmacy, making vitamins, medicines, and diabetic supplies, most brought in and donated by tourists like us, available to those in need. The Jewish community was her life. She had made a promise to her father decades earlier that she would stay and take care of the Jews. For the community, she was incredibly inspiring. Later that night, we returned to Beth Shalom for Shabbat services. The facilities of Beth Shalom were modest, the prayer books old and worn. Although they depend on visiting rabbis, their services are led by lay leaders with thoughtfulness and spirit. Together, our congregations and another visiting from Minnesota worship side by side. Despite the service being conducted in Spanish, we were unified by the Hebrew, the Shema, Kaddish, and Ose Shalom. It was incredibly powerful and emotional. Rabbi Davidson, with the assistance of an interpreter, addressed the congregation. He took from that week's Parsha, Vayikra, the lesson to draw close. We understood that we were part of a greater community. We felt an incredible sense of pride. After services, we moved into their community room for the oneg and blessings over the candles, wine, and challah. At that moment, it became clear that while our lives were so different, we shared an incredible bond as Jews. And despite being separated by more than 1,300 miles, we were one large community. The next day, we traveled to the Jewish cemetery, the final resting place of many who lived in a very different Cuba, relatives of people who had fled decades before and after the revolution. We gathered as a group around the Holocaust Memorial. Rabbi Davidson led us in Kaddish for the 6 million who perished. We placed small stones on the grave before departing. Before we knew it, it was our last night. We would be heading home in the morning before the Obamas would arrive that afternoon. Rabbi Davidson spoke to us as we began our final meal together. He thanked Gadi and me for making this trip, once nothing more than an idea, a reality. He thanked those who participated in the journey. He spoke of community and family. He spoke of the connections we made over the previous 4 days with each other, with the Cuban people, and Temple Emmanuel. This remarkable journey to Cuba with fellow Temple members emphasized that Emmanuel is indeed exactly what I was looking for those many years ago. So much more than a place to worship on the high holidays, Temple Emmanuel is a place of active and meaningful experiences, a place where friendships and connections are made, a place where every person matters, where every person can be part of something exceptional. We are all blessed to be part of such an amazing community, something we should hold dear in our hearts. Shabbat Shalom.